escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a friend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between.
Hey friends, I'm Nikki Ogden, team member of the Happy Hour podcast. Due to an unexpected crisis, Jamie is going to be delaying her book publicity and tour. She's also going to take a break from social media, public appearances, and recording new shows at this time. We want to give her space to process, discern, and recover. We are so incredibly thankful for the community that Jamie has built here at the Happy Hour, and we know that you want to share your love and support for her. The best way that you can do that is by listening to this pre-recorded show and sharing this episode with a friend. We're so thankful for you.
Hi, everybody. Let me just tell you real quick that we have been here for a while, my friend Ruth and I, which I'm so excited that you get to hear from my friend Ruth. We've been here and we've been backstage, and one of the ladies that was with us was like, let me just tell you something. These women are going to be with you. Like, they are going to go for it. They are excited. And I walked into this room and I was like, well, she was not lying. Yo, that was so good. This is my first speaking event for 2024. It's my first time out on the road, and so I'm so excited that I get to be here with you guys. This was just fun for me to just come on down here today, and I'm so excited to be with you guys. Okay, I want to talk to you guys tonight about how life often feels like a roller coaster. Does anyone feel me on that? How many of you actually enjoy roller coasters? Wow. Okay, I'm a no on that. I am a no on roller coasters. I'll tell you a couple reasons why. When I was younger, I liked roller coasters, but I have a little more on the line these days. I just can't be messing around with roller coasters, right? I also am 46. And if anyone else in here is over 40, you know that sometimes things just don't work the way they used to. You know what I mean? So that stopping and starting on the roller coaster is a good way to just make all my urine come out of me. And so I'm a no on roller coasters. Those are my first two reasons. The third reason is I read an article last year about an amusement park in, where was this? In Wisconsin, okay? It was an amusement park in Wisconsin, and one of the roller coasters got stuck upside down. I'm done. I'm never getting on another roller coaster a day in my life. If the first two reasons weren't enough, this one put me over the edge. So this roller coaster was stuck upside down, I'm going to tell you, for a total of 3 hours. No. I don't know how your brain doesn't just kind of pop open after about 25 minutes. This roller coaster was stuck upside for about 3 hours, and I read this article, and I remember thinking to myself, this is life. This is what life feels like so often. We feel like we're on a roller coaster, and the thing is, if you go to an amusement park and you get on a roller coaster, you kind of have a small idea of what to expect, right? You're going to speed up. You're going to slow down. You're probably going to go upside down. You're going to have curves. But often, depending on where you're sitting, you don't actually get to see what's ahead, right? You're just along for the ride. People love that. Throw your hands up. You're just along for the ride. And I started thinking about that, those poor, poor people who were stuck upside down for 3 hours. And I thought, they did not expect that on that ride. They had no idea that they were going to get on this roller coaster and then spend 3 hours hanging upside down, praying to Jesus the entire time. And friends, if that does not sum up life, I don't know what does. That we know we're on a roller coaster. We know what life entails. We know the parts of it. We know it's going to be hard. If you've lived longer than like 12 years, and some of us, if you live longer than like 5 years, you know that life is hard. There's unexpected turns. Sometimes you get stuck upside down doing something you don't want to do for 3 hours. You just don't know what's ahead of you. And that's what life feels like. Oftentimes, life takes us down paths that we could have never imagined. Some of you in here are probably right now thinking, you know what? My entire marriage feels like a roller coaster. You might be thinking, my husband doesn't even love the Lord. My husband doesn't even talk to me. You may feel like you're just roommates and you're thinking, this is not what I expected on this roller coaster of marriage. Some of you are thinking, well, I wish I had a husband. This is not what I expected my life to be. I thought by the stage of life that I'm in now, that I would be married with a couple kids, a couple dogs, paying a mortgage with a spouse. Some of you have children who have walked away from the Lord. You raised them in a home that taught them all about the love of Jesus, and they've turned their back on that. Some of you buried children. Some of you are yearning for children, and your womb is not cooperating. Some of you have jobs where you have to put in 60 hours and there's no other way around it. Some of you have lost your job recently. Some of you are in jobs that you hate. Listen, life is such a roller coaster. It feels like the last couple of years, for sure, like we've been on this double speed roller coaster with the world. We have our own personal problems, right, that we're all dealing with. And then something happened in our world in 2020 and it's like everybody lost their minds. We had a global pandemic. Just recently, I was like, whew, this is behind us. I got 15 friends texting me they got COVID again. We're in an election year. Dear Jesus, help us. This roller coaster is scary, isn't it? And it's hard. I think what I want you to know is that a couple things. Number one, you're not alone on this roller coaster. Look around this room. I mean, this is amazing that on a Friday night that all of you are in here gathered to say, I believe in what God is doing in my city. I believe in what God is doing in my church, and I want to show up and worship him. And some of you might be thinking like, listen, this is so weird. My friend invited me because she said there was dinner and there was going to be a speaker. I thought it was a comedy show. I don't know where I am. Well, I want to let you know that you're welcome here as well, okay? But as often as life feels like a roller coaster and we feel like it's out of control, you're not alone. And I believe as a follower of Jesus that we have some very basic truths that we often forget. It's like we get on the roller coaster and we're hanging upside down and all of a sudden we forget all the promises of God. You're walking through life and here comes another curveball and you forget all the promises that God has given you. Sometimes we're standing when life is good and things are going our way. We're like, I know all the promises of God. And then life gets crazy and you're like, where is he? I want to remind us tonight of a couple of things. If you have been in church long enough, you're going to be like, Jamie, I learned this when I was in second grade. And I want to say, good, you have forgotten. And we're going to learn it again. I want to talk about a couple of things that are true about what God says about us that we can cling to in the midst of the scariest roller coaster called life.
If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas, because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interests. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own. You guys, in January of 2024, I made a commitment to myself. I wanted to get stronger, which meant I needed to get in the gym, which means I needed to move my body in different ways. You guys know I love to walk. Well, it's spring, and spring is the best time for us to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, to tap into your power, and build towards your summer you. I love my Peloton. It accommodates to my schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. I can choose a 30-minute class. I can choose a 45-minute class. If you only have 5 minutes, there's literally a class to get you moving your body in 5 minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and every mood. There are classes if you want to hear country music, if you want to hear rock, if you want to go back to the 80s. If you can't run, take a walking class. Need some grounding? Try yoga. If you want to level up, go for their Pilates or HIIT workouts. Here's what I love is that you can move at your own pace. And that is what I'm learning that my body needs right now. It needs to move at its own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take all the guesswork out of working out. You guys, we think about so many things during the day. Let's take the guesswork out. Let's jump right in and let's keep our fitness journey fresh every single day. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. I personally love a good 45-minute hip-hop class. It gets me moving. It gets me excited. It's my favorite genre of music. Just ask my kids. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com.
All right, here we go. I'm going to go through this. Number one is the word chosen. We have to remember that we have been chosen by the Father. God didn't have to say, let me see how this is going to work out. Let me see the choices she's going to make before I decide that I want her to be in the family of God. God chose us. In Ephesians, it says he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we would be called holy and blameless before him. God did not need to see your resume before choosing you. God did not need to see how you were going to act. God said, you know what? I'm going to choose you as my daughter. And then in his kindness and his goodness, he molds us and he changes us into the woman that he wants us to be. The first thing we have to remember is that before the foundation of the earth, God said, I want you to be my daughter. He chose us right where we were. The second thing I want us to remember is that we are loved. We are loved just the same way as that you cannot undo your chosenness by the Father. You cannot undo his love for you. And I think this is one of those concepts in the Christian faith that you think, of course we know God loves us. John 3:16, he says it. But I'm going to tell you what, we don't live like we believe it. So you may have read it in Sunday school, and you may know the scripture, but I want to ask you, do you live as though you know you are loved no matter what? Do you live as though you know that when Paul says in Romans that nothing can separate you, he says, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ. God's love for you has nothing to do with you. You didn't do anything to earn his love. And my friends, you cannot do anything to lose his love. God's love for you is because his son Jesus died for you. That is how God can love you in the midst of your sin. That is how God can love you in the midst of your sanctification. That is how God can love you in the midst of you growing more in love with him. Because if you're waiting on God to love you, for you to get yourself together, if you're waiting on God to love you when you start doing everything quote unquote right, that we the best thing we do is sin because we're humans. And God says, I'm going to continue to love you. And then The coolest thing is that when we begin to believe his love, we don't want to do right so that he will love us. We want to do right because he loves us. When you start to wake up and go, God, I trust that you love me. How can I serve you today? How can I seek you? How can I look for the goodness in the world? And I'll tell you, the thing that's hard about love is I want to tell you, in the world that we live in, you can stop loving anyone at any time. Anytime. I think about how many boyfriends did I say I love you to before I met my husband. God's not like that. If you have a roommate and you guys have like an argument, you guys can go separate ways. God doesn't work that way. His love can't be stopped and it can't be lessened. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us on a cross. He said, hey, I know that sin separates us, but I love you. And so I'm going to send Jesus to bring you back to me. So not only are we chosen, not only do we have a love from the Father that is unbreakable, it is unmovable. We cannot lose it. We also have to remember that, my friends, if you are a follower of Christ, you have a new identity. You have a new identity. Now, I want to say this real quick. I want to cover my bases here in case there are any of you here that did think you were just going to a night out with your friend and you're like, I don't know how I got here. I want to tell you that the greatest thing that this entire book is about is a story of God coming back to rescue his people. The Bible is a story about God. It's not about us. Just clue you in there. The Bible is a story about God and how do we know him? And when God created humanity, he said, look, everything is perfect. It is good. It is right. And then we know he created the first humans, Adam and Eve. And he said, hey, you can do whatever you want in this garden, anything. Anything you want. There's this one tree you can't eat of. And I'm sure, I don't know, it doesn't say, I'm sure they're like, okay, sounds good, got it. One tree, got it. And then they ate from the one tree and sin entered into the world and it separated us from God. And God always had a plan. And so when I tell you that you have a new identity in Christ, it's not because you did anything awesome. It's because God said, I'm going to send my son to redeem and save my people. And because of that, you're a new creation. You are a new creation. I don't even have it in here, but it's 2 Corinthians 5, I think. Someone correct me. Here we go. 2 Corinthians, yes, 5, 17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. So you have a new identity because of God's love for you. Because when you say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. Yes, I trust him as the Lord. He says, I give you a new creation. The best part about that is if we back that up a couple verses, that's verse 17. If we go all the way back to verse 14, it says this, for the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all and therefore all have died. When you start following Jesus, you get a new identity and his love controls you. That's a love I'm willing to let control me. That's a love I'm willing to say, you can have all of me. You can control me. Now I have two big scars on my body. Anybody else have scars that are visible? So I'll tell you about two of them. One of them was I was cooking and that was my first problem is I was cooking. And I was making breakfast tacos for dinner. I mean, who doesn't love that? But this time I thought I'm going to put the bacon in the oven so I don't get grease everywhere. Well, there's all these kids and I forget there's bacon in the oven and I just reach in and pull it out like this. Right. Massive third degree burns on my hands. I still have a scar. If I take my watch off, you can see where my watch was. Crazy. And that's when I said, I'm not cooking anymore. I have that scar on my body, but I also have another scar. When I was 21, I had emergency surgery in my abdomen. I had an ectopic pregnancy that had ruptured. No one cared about vanity. They just wanted to save my life. So I had this massive scar on the bottom of my belly area. I don't know what that word is. What is this? Abdomen? Belly? Stomach? Okay, y'all are with me. So I had these two scars, and I sometimes think to myself, do these scars define me as a person? Am I defined by the scar on my hand? That's kind of a funny one, you know. But what about the scar on my belly? Because I wasn't married, and I got pregnant, and then I had this ruptured cyst, this pregnancy that ruptured, And then I had emergency surgery. And then for the rest of my life, I have a scar that every time I see it, I remember why I have that scar. Do you see how I could let that scar define me? Well, this scar shows that I was once this way. But the truth is that we all have scars. A lot of us have internal scars. We've been hurt. We've been harmed. A lot of us have made decisions that we wish we could go back and change. And I just want to ask you, so many times we start to believe that these make up our identity. When God says through his son Jesus, no, you have a new identity. Your new identity is that you are a follower of mine. Your new identity is that Jesus died on a cross for your sins. You have a new identity. Those scars might tell part of my story, but they're not my whole story. They're not my whole story. My identity is secure. My identity as being a child of God and a family of God is secure because I am chosen and I am dearly loved. And this identity of mine is not anything that I've done or anything I've accomplished. This identity was sealed for me when Jesus died and was buried and rose again. Then my identity is secure. And sometimes on the roller coaster of life, maybe we're causing our roller coaster to stay upside down for 3 hours. You know what I mean? Maybe we're making some choices that we need to make differently. And often when that happens and we get back, we get down, we're off of the 3 hours upside down and we think to ourselves, what just happened? What choices did I make? We can start to say, well, then I must be that choice. That must be my identity. And friends, I want you to know that you may make bad choices, but your choices do not define you. Because you are defined by something greater. If you are a follower of Jesus, you're defined by his blood and you are part of his family. Psalm 103 says this, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Jesus' scars give us our identity, not ours. Jesus' scars give us our identity. Not only are we chosen, not only are we loved, not only do we have an identity that is secure that we need to remember, we also have a new lens. We have a new lens to see our life from. Dr. Kurt Thompson says, even though you cannot change the events of your story, you can change the way you experience your story. Even though you cannot change the events of your story, you can change the way you experience your story. Take, for example, the scar in my abdomen. Can't change anything about it. It happened. I was 21. I can't go back and do anything. That's not how life works. It happened. It is there. So I can either look at that scar and I can talk down to myself. I can look at that scar that is 23 years old, 24 years old. I can look at that scar and say, you really think you're a new creation? Remember why you have that scar? Remember that? That's probably really who you are. I can listen to the deceiver try to tell me that, or I can say, you know what? No, I have a lens. Life is hard. We have scars inwardly and outwardly. How do we view them? How do we view them? We need a new lens. What do we do with these pains? Because I know that your life is hard and my life is hard and it may scar us, but it does not have to define us. It does not have to define us. We need to look at it through a new lens. And Jesus did that when he showed up here. He invited a bunch of ragtag men and women to walk along with him. And you know what didn't happen when they started walking with him? Some of their hardships didn't exactly go away. They just saw them differently. They just had a different lens to see them through. They had a lens of Jesus's life when he was walking with them. And we have the beauty of having the gospel on this side of the cross. And our lens is we see our lens through the love of the gospel, the good news of who Jesus is. Because I'll tell you what, we cannot always control the speed or the direction of this roller coaster called life. But what you can control is where your eyes are looking. And when your eyes are focused on something other than yourself, other than your scars, other than this crazy roller coaster, when they are focused on Jesus, you have a new lens that you see your life through. a new lens. And I just want to say this too, because I don't want anyone sitting here going, well, it must be easy for her because she doesn't know my life. I want us to stop that in church, in women's circles. We're not going to have this measure of hard life. All right, we're going to let that go. Because you don't know my heart, and I don't know your heart, but we all have the same Jesus. Okay? We all have the same Jesus. So not only are we chosen, we need to remember that. Not only are we loved, not only is our identity secure because of what Christ has done, not only do we need a new lens to see our life from, the roller coaster of life that is so hard, and lastly, which honestly I'm embarrassed to say is almost the hardest one for me, is we need to live a life of gratitude. We need to live a life of gratitude. Now, it is January 19th. If you have not seen a gratitude journal come through your social media feed, you have not been online. Am I right? Let's get our gratitude journal. Let's do our gratitude breathing. Let's get our gratitude sweatshirts. Let's do all the gratitude things. And yet at the same time, it is very hard to practice gratitude when life is out of control. It is very, very hard to practice gratitude when life is out of control.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter. Where every day feels like Saturday, and French fries are a food group. Where flip-flops are always in fashion, and seafood is always in season. Where the boardwalk is bustling, and the beach is right outside your door. Where you can rise with the tide, and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Selling smoothies is what I do, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner, too, so he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
There's this verse that I memorized when I was a little kid, and you might have memorized it, too. In fact, there's a song that goes with it, which is how we should still memorize verses by songs, because it works when you're a kid. They said, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in him." And honestly, what I think about that verse is I read it and I'm like, okay, when I memorized that when I was seven, guess what? Life was pretty easy for me at seven. Okay, this is God's day. I'm going to rejoice and be grateful. Okay, Mom, where's my food? Where's my lunch? Where's my housing? Where's all the stuff? And then you get a little bit older and you get into life. And you read Psalm 118, verse 24, and it says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And you go, "But I don't like this day. And I want a new day. I want to go back to yesterday. I'm going to tie some bows up at work and finish some things and redo that conversation and choose some different words. And I want a new day." And yet, that's not what it's saying here. It's saying, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And that verse in Psalm 118 is not a verse about when you are grateful, your circumstances will change. That is not what it says. It doesn't say when you rejoice in the Lord, you get what you want. When you rejoice in the Lord, all the hardships go away. When you rejoice in the Lord, all things go as you want. No, it doesn't say that. It said, "But this is his day, so we're going to rejoice." And I need you to make sure you hear that this is hard work. But it is important work. I want to look at that whole chapter, and we don't have time for us to read it. Can you just put it up here so I can point a couple things out in Psalm 118? I want to see a couple things. Oh, it's small. Okay, let me do this. Just move, whoever's doing the slides, just move with me. Here we go. Okay, here it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Awesome. Go to verse 5. It starts with this: "Out of my distress." Out of my distress. Go to verse 6. "I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Go to verse 7. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. Verse 8. Take refuge. Verse 9, take refuge. Verse 10, all nations surrounded me. Verse 11, they surrounded me. He says it again. They surrounded me on every side, in case we didn't get it the first time. Verse 12, they surrounded me like bees. Tell me that this life is hard right now. Verse 13, I was pushed so hard that I was falling. And then it says this in verse 13, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation. Verse 17, I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Verse 18, the Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Verse 19, open the gates that I might enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. Verse 20, he keeps going. Verse 21, I thank you. Verse 24, this is the day that the Lord has made. Do you see what has gone up to verse 24? A lot of times we just say, rejoice in the Lord, for this is the day that he has made. And that's awesome. This joker right here was in distress. His enemies were surrounding him. He said, God, how far along? What's going on here? And then verse 18, verse 24, I will rejoice in the Lord. I want you to remember this. Gratitude changes us, not our circumstances. Gratitude changes us, not our circumstances, because often our circumstances do not change at all. I'm gonna be real honest with you. Often our circumstances do not change at all. Listen, new year, new me. No, I'm the same person I was on December 31st. I got the same job. I got the same salary. I got the same joker kids that don't pick up their stuff around the house, and nothing changed. But gratitude changes us, because it says, I will rejoice when my enemies are surrounding me, because God has made today. That's what it does for us. And I'm not saying that this is easy, but I am saying it is possible. And what I know is that life is extremely, extremely hard. I am not naive to think that there are not some people in this room who you showed up today and you thought, I'm on my last thread. I am weak. I am needy. This is hard. And I want you to know that we have a God who says, you know what? I see you. I see you. And before the foundation of the earth was laid, I said, I want you to be in my family. And maybe you're like, no one's ever wanted me in their family. No one's ever wanted me for who I am. And God says, I see you and I want you. God chose you. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. Who dies for somebody? Jesus died for you because he loves you. Because of that, it changes our identity. Paul tells us that what we've read in 2 Corinthians. I'm a new creation. It doesn't mean all of a sudden my wish list gets filled. It just means I actually am a new creation. And I want to tell you something. If you have ever been radically changed by the love and grace of Jesus, which if you were a follower of Jesus, I don't care how you came to him, it was radical. If you've been radically changed by the love of Jesus, you can stand up and testify, I am a new creation. And I also want to remind you of this, that you have a choice when you look at your life. You can see it through the lens of the gospel, and you can say, Jesus, no matter what is happening today, I will rejoice because this is the day that you have given me. I have breath in my lungs. I'm standing here, and as long as I'm here on this earth, I will praise you. Let me pray for us. God, we love you. We did nothing to deserve everything that you have given us, and God, you lavishly give us your love, which we can't lose. God, I pray for the women in this room as they're going through hard times, as they're going through difficult moments. In those moments, would you remind them of the things that are true? Would your spirit move in their heart and their soul and so say, listen, dear daughter, don't forget I love you. Don't forget you're not alone here. Don't forget you're a part of a big body of across the whole world of people following me. God, would we be people moving forward in 2024, no matter what life throws us, that we will say, I will rejoice today because this is the day that you have made. God, we love you. We thank you for your son, Jesus, and we pray all this in his name. Amen.
The Happy Hour is produced and hosted by myself, Jamie Ivey, with assistance from Nikki Ogden and Ashley Caldwell, and the show is edited by Jason Talley.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Jake from State Farm here, hanging out with Mel's Mow & Grow. Mel chose State Farm for small business insurance because his local agent is a small business owner too. So she knew how to help him personalize his policies. And now, he's rolling in the green. Like a good neighbor. Guys, I'm trying to do the line.
Oh, sorry, Jake.
It's all good. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.